gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Episode 215. It's Morning Cup of Joe with your boys, Drake and Tyler. That's what this episode is. This one kind of took a turn that, you know, we just started talking. Things started flowing. We had a nice little half-hour conversation. A little Iowa football, a little current events. This is what we do. Let's have a great week, Walk-On Army. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Fans, episode 215 of the podcast. It feels early as shit in the morning because I've slept terrible the past two nights. Kevin can't be here early. I can't be here late. Kluber said, let's get it out of the way. Here we are. I don't know what we have to talk about, but my aunts have told me that this podcast makes them laugh. So if nothing else, we're going to try and make you laugh a couple times for the people who care about us. So Kluber, it's your turn, buddy.
You can tell Drake is he's locked in because what are you doing? You jitsuing? What's the tournament right now?
Bro, I took an L yesterday.
You lost? No.
I got third. I lost one match, and I can't believe it happened, and I did it to myself.
No.
Yeah, I lost on points at the end. And it's because I gassed out horridly. I spent the better part of the third match stalling because the first two matches took it out of me. I think the weight cut and the 21 days of training in a row really hurt my body more than I expected.
Oh my.
And in the third match, I was the guy that you see on the UFC fights that has that flushed look in his eyes like, I don't know where the gas is going to come from because the tank is empty. And I stalled and stalled and stalled because I was up a couple points. And then the ref made a little bit of a bad call, giving the guy 2 points when he didn't have an escape. So I tried to pull something ballsy with not very much time left, and I gave up a couple points and lost. So I ended up winning the next two matches, submitted 4 people, but I did get beat one time. So that was a nice piece of humble pie, and I think I learned a little bit about overtraining and how it really is a thing.
Dude, I was just going to say the other day when you were like, I've done 17 in a row or whatever, I was like, man, I think you might need a little rest in there, guy.
And the bad part is I had to take my body weight from like 210 or 212, and I got it all the way down to 199.
Ugh. That's not good, man.
I had to be 5 pounds under 208 at least to make weight in the gi, and because you weigh in with your gi on.
Oh, you do.
I made weight at 207, and I had to weigh in at 208. So, yeah, I was a little bit depleted, and I paid for it. Took the L.
Ooh.
And the kid was really good, too. Like, he was much better than I expected him to be. So, I mean, there was a multitude of factors that really contributed to me taking this one in the chops.
I relate to that a little bit because there's if anyone's into working out there, which, again, we've talked about the benefits of working out and what it does for your mental, and, I mean, it's basically keeping Drake alive at this point.
Exactly. That's why I go 21 days in a row, dude.
Right.
I'm really addicted to the process of jiu-jitsu, and, like, it was also a little bit of a mental battle. Like, there was a couple days where I really didn't want to go, and I was like, no, you have to go. Like, yeah. This is a challenge for you. And so I just went, and I realized that was probably hindsight being 2020. That was a little bit overzealous.
Yeah, is there a way that you can, like, for anybody that – I bet we have more people that do jiu-jitsu that listen to this. And if you guys listening do, reach out. I'd love to hear about it. But it's kind of popular among, like, people who want to get back into something, and it's like, oh, I want to do something I've never done before.
Yep.
Is there a way that you can go in there and, like, do an easy day? Like, is there
– Yeah, there are.
Two-part question, because I know that it's partially subjective too. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of days where I go down into the garage, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to use 40, 50%. I'm only going to go for 30 minutes. But then you start going, and you're like, I'm going to get a – I feel good. I want to get, like, a hard one in. So there's part of, like, yes, I could go slow – but I personally can't because
the first part is pretty important, because there's a lot of days where I go into jiu-jitsu saying I'm going to try and go slow, but then my body gets warmed up and you get those endorphins and you're enjoying the practice.
And it's competitive. And
then you go into a competitive period where I try and live by the mantra hard to kill, because even though I'm not super good, I do try and be hard to kill. So even if I'm going with somebody that's quite a ways outside my skill reach, I don't know. I try to not just roll over and die for them. So it ends up being a little more strenuous oftentimes than maybe I intended it for it to be.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't factor in is the adrenaline dump.
Yeah.
The arena that we were in yesterday was actually lit. Like,
I saw Kaylee posted a picture of it.
There was so many people there. And it was kind of an electric environment, and I hadn't had an adrenaline spike in a really long time.
Yeah, when's the last time? I mean, it would have been like the pinstripe.
Dude, like, I don't know. I can't remember the last time where I really felt like flushed with competitive adrenaline.
I miss that bad.
Dude, I don't, because it you can't train for that.
Well, we used to be used to it. We used to be trained for it.
Yeah,
because to be quite honest, anytime you stepped out on the practice field, this actually segues really well into what the boys are kind of moving into now. But like those summer workouts, and even those workouts before spring ball, when it was heavy lifting, those were competitive environments that's all I needed. Like that type of adrenaline. I don't remember if you were in the session or not, but that there was one squat day session, max session, where everybody got around every single person when they did their max lift. Yeah. It's an extra.
It's kind of become a little bit of a thing. Like,
yeah.
I think in most programs, that's mm-hmm. a thing, because clean day is cool, bench day is cool, but squat day is like really, it's a different mentality.
You literally have the weight of the world on you.
It's what it feels like.
You stand up or you get buried. No.
And you do it in front of all your peers and your coaches.
My brother, so I want to come back to the jits in a second. My brother, they just had those 3 weeks post spring ball where they do another testing period, real light lifts. They test maxes and they test speed reps. Shout out to Zach Kluver. I don't do this often, but shout out to Zach Kluver. I don't know how he did it. I think the strength coaches had some quick trigger fingers. But Drake, my guy ran a 3.86 pro agility. It's the third fastest time in the program history, behind Riley Moss at 3.85. He just beat OJ at 3.87, and Ease ran a 3.77.
So like here's what I'm gonna say. Yes, he obviously had a very good rep. Yes, it was probably under 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that he's faster than some of the guys change of direction that we've seen would just be asinine. So is your brother probably good with his hips and his change of direction?
Like I was.
Probably.
Yeah.
It probably runs in your family. A weird little
something.
impy little hip genetics. I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, I'm sure he ran a great time. I just have a very hard time believing that your brother gets in and out of breaks better than, you know.
Dude, I have a hard time.
Karen did.
See, and here's the thing. Practicality, like application-wise, he doesn't, right? Like, and neither did I. Running a known drill, a 5-10-5, where you know the steps, you know exactly, it's a practice thing. there's a disconnect there between that and the field, right? I ran faster than a lot of the skill guys in that drill, but it's just because I was perfect on form. To be quite honest, as a specialist, I thought it was going to be hard to beat my record, and then Shudak ended up doing it. And he's really light. He weighs 175. But to know that Zach at 210 pounds could run it faster than me, I mean, he ran it fast enough to where even if there was a stopwatch kind of – I mean, they have two people time and they average the times out. He still ran faster than me, and so that's like, wow, it's pretty good. But, yeah, those there's a disconnect there. Like, clearly when you put Riley McCarron on a field or a receiver, one of those DBs on the field – they're going to be better at reactionary change of direction and stuff like that. But his name's up on the board now. And so he literally FaceTimed me and he's like, dude, I don't know how I fucking did it. I don't know how I did it. But he went back to the squat. He put his legs actually work, which is good to know that somebody in the Kluivers family, that's a thing, because I thought that genetically – I was left behind because every time I was under a squat bar, I felt like I was still at the high school and everybody else was in college. Zach had 380 on the bar for five, which isn't crazy, but it's all right. And he literally said, he's like, you got to take 20 pounds off that though, because there's no way I could do that if I was just in the weight room by myself. Like, the environment adds 20 pounds. I think it might add more than 20 pounds. I wish the Iowa weight room on max day was something that everybody could experience. Because
I think you would probably have to hormone test everybody to really find out, because in theory,
wouldn't it be interesting?
How much of your muscle are you able to recruit voluntarily? Is it 40%?
I'm not sure.
That it's a very low percentage of your overall like power potential is what you can recruit it in one time. So if somebody's fight or flight kicks in more and they have a higher hormone response because they might have a higher fear response.
It's superhuman.
They could potentially, like, that's theoretically sound.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what happens. I heard a story, I'll never forget this, and it kind of checks out. I heard a story one time on some TV show where they were like, they would like reenact superhuman feats of strength or whatever. And there was these two people. Shit, it might have been in Arizona, like two people hiking, and they got off the trail or something.
Oh, it was a story about me. And
it was Drake.
Time.
It was. They looked into the future and heard about Drake. Yeah. No, this guy, they were out on some rocks they shouldn't have been on, and all of a sudden the rock breaks and starts to slide and gets caught on top of the guy as he's about to fall off the cliff, and it's dragging him down. Off, and he's just about off the cliff, and he bench presses it up off of his chest and like gets it over him, and it falls off the cliff, and he just barely hangs on. At least this is the story the guy told. And like there was other people there, and they estimated that the rock that broke off was estimated to be like 1,000 pounds or something. And like just his superhuman adrenaline, everything, fight or flight kicked in, and he was able to get it up off his chest and push it off. And so like that, there's some kind of crazy voodoo magic that happens when you have 40 dudes around you that you respect and you don't want to let down and you don't want to look soft in front of, and they're all screaming at you to get the fuck up, and you just get up, man. Like, it doesn't matter. You can put up insane amounts of weight. So yeah. That's what the guys just went through. So some of you may have seen on Twitter, it was reported that Xavier Williams, the transfer cornerback, jumped a 45.7. So
on the pads or on the touch?
I think it was a bit on the pad.
You know, I'm still a little iffy on those pads because
I
they told me I jumped 39 inches on those pads, and I've never seen 39 inches in my life. I was a 35, maybe 36 guy at Pro Day.
Yeah.
I was a little heavy.
Well, you were a little heavier.
But, I mean, like, there's a bit of a discrepancy between those pads. I need to see the empirical data. I really want to see some heavy, hard data on those jump pads.
So what we're talking about, for those that don't know, is most of you are familiar with the sticks. You know, just the straight-up little stick that has the little pegs on it that you touch, right? And there's – honestly, it's probably the best way. I mean, it's the best way to show, okay, you touched this high. However, there's a little bit of discrepancy in that test because who knows if the person who jumps actually touched at their peak or if they jumped a little bit forward or backward or whatever happened.
Or if they shortened their arm.
Or if they shortened their arm or whatever. So at Iowa, I think a lot of places too, they use a pad that uses a mathematical formula basically of how much pressure you jump off the pad with and how much time from the point where your weight leaves the pad to where you touch back down. And there's some formula that's supposed to calculate like pretty precisely how high you jumped based off of those two numbers. That pad said that I jumped 34 and you jumped 39. You jumped 39 on that pad.
39, bro. And I knew I could float. I've always been able to float.
I mean, you can jump.
White guy. Yeah, they say white boys can't jump, but I could pre-ankle break and especially pre-weight.
Yeah.
Now I might be able to jump back to like
better
good again just because I don't have so much weight, but the ankle still busted.
Yeah.
But yeah, 39 was where, and Josie jumped higher than me. So Josie was maybe 39 and a half.
I mean, and you guys both could bounce and like, you know, if you put you on a 10-foot rim, like you could dunk no problem. I mean, I watched you dunk in jeans cold one time. Like
off that dumbass floor that gave no bounce.
Yeah, in Bo's like warehouse gym/batting cage. Yeah, man, those are interesting. So that's kind of how they test vertical. Either way, dude can fly if the pad's telling him 45.7, and that's stupid.
I mean, that's still out of control. That's still higher than Josh jumped on the pad. Mm-hmm. We knew how high Josh could jump.
Yeah, and Brandon Smith, they both jumped like 42 or 43.
And Wes.
Yeah,
Wes
and Wes.
Been close to that.
44, I think, is what Wes jumped. Yeah, that's wild shit. And he is, if you guys remember, this guy isn't technically listed as a starter. I'm not even sure where he's listed as a backup. He's the transfer. So I think he's going to see a shitload of time on special teams this year because that's a great place to work somebody in. And if we need a breather rep or something, he might be able to just be plug and play in our D-backs system. So that's pretty cool. real quickly, back to the Jits. When I was younger, those humbling moments, like your loss this weekend, I would be very embarrassed about stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't feel embarrassed at all.
At all, right? Like nowadays, and the only thing that really humbles me now is like a CrossFit workout where I know I follow somebody on Instagram. They're a great athlete. I think of myself as fit and as healthy and as strong and whatever as them. And then I go and do a workout, and it takes me twice as long to complete something. Or I go and do a lift, and it's like, oh, he made that look easy. I can't even take it off the ground. And now that – I don't know if it's just becoming more mature or whatever, but, like, now that humble pie almost tastes good, right? It's almost – you know?
Well, here's the thing. One, I very much took the competition as a whole and everybody who I was potentially going to face far too lightly.
You took them lightly.
Because of who I've been training with, I just simply overlooked them to the nth degree.
Okay.
Like, to the point where I was told that the tournament was taking too much time, and I was told that I had between 20 and 30 minutes, and I was a little hungry, so I ate a piece of pizza.
Oh, no.
And then I ended up not having that much time, and I still won the first match. But, like, I was overlooking it. So did I learn a lesson there? Absolutely. And that's probably a lesson that we were supposed to learn many times over at Iowa that my stupid ass still didn't learn.
Right.
Number two.
Different arena now, though.
Number two, my mind was not strong enough to overcome the true fatigue in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Very humbling. So mm-hmm. I think that's something that needs quite a bit of work. So both of those things were very good things to learn and to grow from, but still very disappointed in myself for allowing it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love when that happens and you're like, fuck, man. There's so much room to grow. There's so much room to grow. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners probably feel that too in like business or relationships or whatever. Like you thought you knew what you were doing and then someone just came along and was like, hey, you're kind of average, dude. And a lot of people that might shut them down. For me, it's just not that way. So the workout I did the other day, it felt like it. How long is a jits round?
They're each 5 minutes.
Okay, so this was a little shorter than that. So I did an interval workout where you complete a certain amount of work as fast as you can, and you rest one-to-one, meaning as long as that work takes you, in this sense it was about 60 reps of front squats and calories on the bike. It took me 3 minutes and 3 seconds in the first round. So I rested 3 minutes and 3 seconds and started again at 6:06 on the clock, right? And it felt – those kind of workouts, they feel like a fight, right? Because you're one-to-one, you're going as hard as you can, and then you're resting for a little bit of time and trying to recover. And, like, a really good time on that workout was, like 11 minutes or something.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Something like that. And I got like 18 minutes. And my body wouldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And every time in the third round, I was thinking, I have a long way to go. If I want to compete in CrossFit, I have a long way to go. And it's just like a really good feeling. Let's take it into the summer quick. Drake mentioned at the top, as obviously we just started talking for 22 minutes and at this point, this is good. The podcast won't die because we can bullshit for however long we need to. Two things. You're not
I
on
think
Twitter.
That was kind of a fun conversation.
I think it was too. I think people can get a lot out of that. You're not on Twitter, but he would have loved this shit. You would have quote tweeted it with something hilarious. And for those listening, I'm sure a lot of you saw this as well. I did not look into this because I just didn't care and I didn't want to give it my time. Some lady at the Gazette wrote like a hit piece on KF.
Oh yeah.
About how
was her name Karen?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, she's probably in the process of changing it to that. And a hit piece may be a strong word, but it was a clickbait article that said something like, KF didn't voluntarily donate back some of his salary, and all the other coaches at the university did, and now now because the university's in a hole financially and the athletic department and all this shit, and then a bunch of the other like beat writers like were retweeting it quick because they love you love to get tweets and you love to get posts or clicks and stuff like that. And then a couple of them were like, oh wait, if you read the article, it actually says that he didn't accept the bowl bonus that he got this year and all this other stuff. But they led with the clickbait that he didn't take a salary cut and other people did. It sparked this huge debate about if KF even should donate because of how much he already has fucking donated in the past. Should he feel obligated? Because he makes so much money, should he bail out the athletic department by himself? It was a shit show, dude.
That last part is asinine. If somebody is actually putting that thought out on just like if that thought enters your mind that the head football coach who is a hired employee just like anybody else whose salary is written in a contract, a legal fucking document like everybody else's. He's not obligated to shit, you clickbait. Second of all, it doesn't matter what this man does with his money. He's as generous as you possibly can be, and it's no single employee's job to bail out their fucking employer. You idiots. You morons. You fucking brain-dead sheep. That's all America is, and I'm not even surprised to hear it now from the Iowa media and the Iowa fan base. I can't even say I'm surprised because you guys are all fucking sheep.
There was several people who were like, got to be honest, if my employer told me to take a voluntary pay cut or asked me to, I'd tell him to fuck right off. I mean,
like, I hope that monologue was good enough for those people because
I think he supplied enough fire for the day. Man, it pains me, and I'm sure there's a bit of lackadaisical interest on my end that maybe is a little too far to the side of not caring, but like it just isn't in my DNA to see something like that and expect somebody else to do anything with their money.
Bail out a university, a state-funded university?
I don't care who you are or what you're a part of or what you claim to be for or against. Your money, somebody else's money, is none of my concern. It blows my mind. I mean, I'm searching for thoughts here. The only thing that comes to my brain is if you're that worried about what other people should do with their money, you have
– Do it with your own.
Do it with your own, or you have too much time on your hands, buddy. Go watch Shark Tank or something. Play with your kids. Get off Twitter.
Get off the internet, dude. How old are these people that are still playing on the internet? You fucking losers.
And then the second thing that comes to mind is it doesn't even matter if KF had ever done this or not, but he has. He donated.
Did he or did he not donate $1 million?
$1 million, dude.
To the children's hospital.
The children's hospital.
For children with cancer.
Hey, once you do that, you're done. Hey, you're done.
But that's not where his philanthropy stopped. Or correct me if it was.
No.
Okay.
No. He's done a lot more.
So you're telling me that KF gave away, was it a $250,000 or $500,000 bull bonus? Because I know his bull bonuses are fat.
$400,000?
Okay, so he gave away a $400,000 bull bonus. He gave $1 million to the children's hospital. And I guarantee you every single year, if you look at KF's tax returns, he has a significant amount of
donation
contribution to charity. This man has given away more than $2 million of his earnings, more than most of you worthless imps will make in your entire fucking lives, and you're still discrediting his philanthropy? Get lost.
Yeah. And to note, the Walk-On Army, the faithful, you guys aren't the worthless imps.
I'm talking about the writers.
Yeah.
This is directed straight at this Karen lady.
Yeah. It just sucks. The media sucks, dude. And we're part of it. We suck. So that's about it in Iowa news. Otherwise, for those that are wondering, the boys right now are on break. My brother is home. They finish school. They get this nice long – this is the longest the Hawks get off. This was always a nice little reprieve from Iowa City. You do spring ball. You beat your body to hell unless you're a specialist. You get drunk after the last day of spring ball. Then you hang out, you do a couple testing periods, you finish up school for the semester, and you get this nice 3-week break it's really the longest you go without seeing any of your teammates or coaches if you go home. I always enjoyed it a lot, love seeing family. I remember getting the strength and conditioning card. You'd get a very, very entry-level workout sheet for the 3 weeks, And I remember just finding like random parks to run in. Like I'm running next to a jungle gym in like grass that needs to be mowed 2 weeks ago because I had to get my conditioning reps in. I had to get my 60s in, dude. The line that I'm touching was my flip-flops that I brought before I put my cleats on, and I walked off 15 yards. Like, that's the kind of shit I was doing to make sure that I came back and was able to make my times because I'm not genetically gifted. And, yeah, some people went on break and got pregnant and gained 10 pounds. It was a nice time to get away from football, but the boys are about to ramp it up. It's summer. Hey, CDC says there's no masks if you're vaccinated, which – oh, that's a topic. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Get masked or get vaxxed, bro.
Masked or vaxxed, baby. I have some opinions on that.
Yeah. Should we talk about Sleepy Joe?
I don't know, man. I just think the way that we've dealt with COVID response as a country isn't great. But I don't want to get into it. I really don't. Maybe at another time. We need Senator Ward here to
we
maybe,
do need Senator Ward.
Yeah, we need Senator Ward
out here loose cannon it by ourselves.
Right. But that's it, man. The Drake and I wanted to make sure we hopped on and gave you a little Monday episode, and he delivered. I mean, he pulled out the old "see you next Tuesday" for this episode for Our Lady at the Gazette. And that's what you get, a little 30-minute episode on a Monday morning. We hope your weekend or your week is good. Your weekend went well.
Hey, have you ever seen what a police canine will do for the police owner that it's loyal to?
It'll rip limbs off.
It'll rip anybody's head off. Clean off.
I'll take his head clean off.
Hey, I ride for my people, dog. Yeah. Let me out of the back of the car, and until the gas tank runs out, I'm going to try and rip your head off. You come for my people.
Yeah, and KF is our people big time, for sure. And hopefully you learned something here. Maybe a lesson in humility, humbleness. Drake, he's got work to do. I got work to do. Everybody's got work to do. So let's go to work, huh? Quick note. I want to come out with some merch. A merch run for the summer so that we have some new shit in time for this fall because we're going to be back in Kinnick Stadium. So you guys can wear the merch in the Kinnick Stadium, okay? If you guys have stuff from the past that you really liked or ideas that you definitely want to see, they trickle in all the time, but I have a hard time kind of gathering all that from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hey, would you put this on the next merch run, all this stuff? Tweet it at me, and I'm going to put it out again. And I have a couple ideas of my own. Drake, I need to send you the design I came up with for this tight end shirt that's going to be sick. Tight end you. That's it. Episode 215 of the podcast. We'll try to come with something a little bit better next on Thursday. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.